back at it, homegrownradio.net, broadcasting live. Of course, this is Homegrown. And of course, everybody wants to start talking right now. Again, once again, man, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head up in here.
Yes, sir.
This show is brought to you by the big homie Charlamagne Tha God. He's got a new book, you know what I'm saying, Black Privilege.
Black Privilege, Opportunity Comes to Those Who Create It.
All right, now look, this book will share, you know, how he turned his troubled early life around by taking ownership of his many mistakes, because you know it's hella mistakes that he made and refusing to give up. So y'all check it out. It's on Amazon, seethebook.com. You can grab it, support it. It's you can pre-order it right now, basically.
Salute to my guy. That's my guy, Charlamagne Tha God.
That's your Charlamagne impression?
He got a book in stores. It's coming out. It's called Black Privilege, Opportunity Comes to Those Who Create It. It's in bookstores, available everywhere. Go to seethebook.com.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. You got to fuck with the mic, too. All right. So, look, a lot of things going on, like, literally as of, like, right now, walking into the studio. We record this on a Thursday. So, if you're listening live, checking in live right now, we appreciate you. HomegrownRadio.net. Got all the little feeds from Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. So, if you want to chime in on the conversation, please do that. But as I'm walking into the studio, I get a text message from Lupe saying, yo, did you hear that new Remy Ma? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, we're a week late. I'm like, yeah, we're going to talk about Remy Ma and Nicki Minaj, mm-hmm, the diss that she did last week, mm-hmm, right? She just did the Sheether. Everybody's been talking about it like crazy. But, and we'll talk about that as well, but she just dropped another one, literally another called one. Another one. And I want to know, have you got a chance to hear it?
I actually was listening to it on the way over here, and the problem is I didn't get that far into it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just really, honestly, I just don't really care.
I don't think it was necessary. That's my thing. Like,
nah, I think she's trying to get her Drake on.
And that's the problem with it. It sounded too Drake-ish. Like, from the beat and some of the bars that she put on there, and mind you, I only listened to it once, but from that first listen, what I gathered is like, you're doing too much. Like, stop. You already got people talking. You already sheathered, Nicki Minaj. You went 7 minutes going hella personal, mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying, hitting below the belt, doing all that. Got a lot of people talking about, damn, you bodied Nicki, and you come back. Is this 7 days? Was this a week? It dropped on a Saturday, okay. And here we are Thursday, so that's what, 5 days? My math is right, four or 5 days? Thank God. Please don't nobody fuck me up right now.
Was she going back to back?
And that shit is not the business. Like,
the first one was better, obviously, because I didn't get that far into it, but in my opinion, you know, she should have, I mean, if you come out and you do something crazy, like, don't try to reduplicate crazy. Like, don't try to duplicate. I say reduplicate.
No, I got you. We got it.
What the fuck is
I
wrong?
I said inside the microphone earlier, so, I mean, yeah, we on for them right
okay,
now.
Okay, so, yeah, anyway, don't try to duplicate, you know, greatness, like, because Ether, hey, quick sidebar, when Nas dropped Ether, that's the first time I ever knew how to spell that motherfucker.
Yep.
Get low key. Like, I didn't know how to spell Ether until
That came out in what, 2000?
I don't remember when the fuck it came out.
But no, so you were out of high school, though.
I don't know. I don't know when it dropped.
Somebody Google that shit real quick.
Somebody pull that shit up. Listen, when Nas dropped Ether.
I think 2001, huh?
When Nas dropped Ether, that's the first time I knew how to spell Ether.
Get out of here.
I had heard of Ether.
The smart man DJ Head is?
Listen, I wasn't smart back then. I was hanging out with a lot of influential ignorance.
So you do that now. Was it
2001?
Okay,
yeah.
So
I was like right. Yeah, it was like high school.
All right, that's crazy. Well, not crazy that you didn't know how to spell. Well, that is kind of crazy too, because you profess yourself to be the smart guy. And you didn't know how to spell Ether.
Bro, listen, don't come for me.
I'm just
saying. The thing is, I just didn't know how to fucking spell it. I'm not the smartest guy in the world.
I think that was one. If I had to give a flaw to Remy, one flaw was that it was. I think that was the greatest takeaway from it, that it was on the Ether beat, but at the same time, it wasn't an original song.
Yeah.
So
no, that I think that's what helped it, though. Because if it would have been an original beat, it might not have been as crazy.
Of that magnitude.
Because
you got to think, Ether was an original beat.
Yeah, at the time, but I'm just saying the fact that she did it over that.
Gotcha.
I think
the
it's
significance
just,
of
it's
it.
Some New York shit. Like, yeah. Look, just don't bring that shit out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, last time.
What you mean?
Just keep that shit over there.
Keep that shit
on the Atlantic Ocean. You know what I'm saying? The Pacific Ocean is beautiful. We got smog and gangs and Instagram and flat tummy tea. Don't bring that bullshit over here. You know what I'm saying?
All right, so what I did want to talk about before, because I wanted to talk about the Remy and Nicki diss. Really, what do you think at this point? Because it's been a week. It's been some time. Nicki hasn't responded. What can Nicki say at this point to deflect everything that Remy is saying? Can she come back from this?
See, the problem is with Nicki and Remy. It's like, if Nicki responds, it better be crazy.
Yeah,
I'm talking about she gotta talk about her little stillborn nephew. She got to talk about her great grandma that died of breast cancer. Like, she got to go there.
You know what's crazy that you say that?
I'm not trying to be funny. I was just saying on Instagram Live.
No, I definitely agree with you, because I think she hit below the belt. But there's only one topic that Nicki can touch on that's gonna be like fucked up. But it's gonna be fucked up.
Oh, that's why she can have babies.
Bam.
Oh yeah, I would go there.
I would definitely go there. But that's going to make Nicki look bad.
Like, it's going to make her look bad, but it's hip hop. You know what I'm saying? What she did ain't hip hop. I mean, what she did is hip hop. You know what I'm saying? She talked about her homosexual brothers. I mean, her pedophile brother or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
that was when I heard that part.
Listen, bro, what I've learned growing up in hip hop is that when it comes time to go to war, it's time to go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Ready.
And I was just talking to my boy. Shout out to Villains LA. I was at the Villains Warehouse this week.
That's a nice little plug.
Yeah, I shout out to them.
You got a shirt too, huh?
Yeah,
I got a couple things. That's crazy how that shit works.
You know what I'm saying? I got a couple things here.
If we have a pre-roll on that shit, I'll know where the money went.
I got it.
You know what's crazy? I went to Villains, you know. Yeah. Check out Villains.com. For all the exclusive news.
Now, I was there and I was talking to my boy Clear. And shout out to Bad Boy Clear. And
damn, that's two of them right there. God damn.
But shout out to my people. So I was talking to him, and he was saying, like, yo, like, he been in so many fights. He said he been over, like, 200 fights in his life. And what's crazy about it is that he was saying, I was telling him, like, I don't really got the stomach for that shit. Like, I don't got the stomach to finish the fight. I'm kind of old school. Like, once you down. Like,
no kick dude when he down.
Yeah, like, once you down, it's kind of like, all right, bro, like leave me the fuck alone.
Right, right.
But this new shit.
Oh, no,
like,
you
this
you
new
go.
Shit, I be watching these videos, and they be like, oh, my God. Yeah, like, you this go is in. Some different shit. So he's like, yeah, bro, you got to just stomp him out till they can't move. And I'm like, okay, but what about when he stopped moving? He's like, no, you got to stomp his face in now. I'm like,
that's crazy.
I don't got the stomach for that shit, but I understand where
the logic
coming
behind
from.
That.
So
yeah.
In hip-hop, it's the same thing. Like, I'm not going to talk about the fact that you can't have kids.
Yeah.
But, hey, look, if it got to go there. I understand. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You did bring in my pedophile brother.
That was a low blow.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
kind of that. So at that point, like, it is what it is. She got to take that. Now, if Nicki, I'm not a weak stomach person. I'm actually going to, like, oh, if Nicki go there, I'm going to be like, hell yeah. That's how you do that.
You're going to stick around for the fight.
Hell yeah. That's how you do it.
You're going to be like a neighbor that, like, when some shit going on, you looking through the window.
Just in the streets. You know how it go. Like, they kill one of your homies, you go kill three.
God damn. All right, we don't condone that here.
No, I'm not condoning none of that. I'm just saying that's how they handle business.
But you said you're here for that.
Huh?
You said you're here for that.
I'm not here for that.
All right, can we rewind the tape? This motherfucker just said, yo, I'm here for that.
So I didn't say I'm here for the killing. I don't want nobody to die. But then we would, you know, it would overpopulate. It'd be niggas everywhere.
Here we go.
You know what I'm saying? Like, some people got to die.
All right, so time-wise, is there a timeline? When is it too long before Nicki has to respond? Or, did I frame that right? Okay. How long does she have to actually respond at this point?
I don't know. I think it's going to go cold. I think that's why Remy dropped his new song. Because you get, what, 3 days to live on the internet now?
Yeah.
Something like that? You get about 72 hours to live on the internet?
I don't know.
Depending on how hard it's hitting.
Exactly.
Like, they playing this shit on the radio. We was playing this shit.
Right,
like,
exactly.
People playing this shit across the country on the radio.
And it depends on who's involved in it, too, because they brought Ebro's name in, and they say he's married and whatever. So that extended the life past the weekend, because he had to address what was going on.
Then
you had Trey Songz say
Ebro
some things.
Going home that
it's
night.
Hot.
Like, when you get home, she's sitting on the couch.
Woo!
She's sitting on the couch, shaking her leg. Mm-hmm.
Nicki, huh?
Yeah, Nicki, huh?
So what she do?
You old man Ebro. Okay. He said nothing happened.
Trey Songz said nothing happened, you know, because she referred, Nicki said that she slept with both of them. You know, Drake and Wayne haven't said anything.
They're not going to say
anything. They're not going to say shit. But most importantly, she's not saying anything. I mean, she's getting on Instagram posting Beyonce, thinks she's the queen, and she's going. My issue with this is, if you're going to stay quiet, go radio silence. Don't say shit to nobody. Don't be responding to Trey Songz when he says something. Don't respond to.
So you saying address the aggressor?
Address the aggressor.
Okay, I understand that, but at the same time, people who are genuine.
Or not. Don't address anything. If you're going to not say shit, don't say shit to
okay,
nobody.
Okay, let me put it to you like this. My little sister. Mm-hmm. My little sister knows who Nicki Minaj is. She don't know who the fuck Remy Ma is.
Gotcha.
So at the same time, I understand. I respect the business of it. Like, it's, you still got to do music business. And at the end of the day, Nicki is a way bigger international brand than, and Remy's not.
But her so thing, she's still, my thing is this. I hear what you're saying. So that's why radio silence would make more sense. If don't respond at all, because it's going to make headlines. Oh, Nicki Minaj, respond. Like, now your sister's going to know at some point that she made some sort of reference. Well, now it may not make headlines.
That, I don't think it touch my sister's radar.
You don't think so?
No, because she don't follow the blog. She don't follow hip hop.
So she
like
don't
that.
Know somebody right now.
I'm talking about
Minaj.
The average person. I'm not talking about us. I'm not talking about people who's in the
so
shit.
So your sister right now, if you call her, if would she know who Remy Ma is?
No.
Would she know that there's a diss track against Nicki Minaj?
No, probably not.
Call
maybe.
Her call her up.
She might have heard. Up.
See, I'm actually curious to see if she knows what's going on right now. How old is she?
My little sister is, what, 17? Something like
but
that.
But okay, this is DJ Head's little sister. Okay, yeah. So what does that mean?
That she don't what she don't know about it?
Well,
my sister's a weirdo. She
okay,
don't like,
I didn't want to say that shit, but
no, she's a weirdo.
Okay, so what do you mean by weirdo?
She, my sister, like anime and all kind of. That's what I'm saying. The average person who's not in tune to hip hop like that or what's going on in hip hop don't probably fucking know what's going on. She don't.
Is she into hip hop?
No.
So she knows Nicki Minaj, though, right?
That's what I'm saying. People who are not even into hip-hop know who Nicki Minaj is.
Gotcha.
People
gotcha.
Who are not, that's my point. People who are in hip-hop know who Nicki is. They don't know who Remy Ma is. She's not a household name like that.
Gotcha.
So with that being said, if Nicki puts Remy on her platform, then now you're giving her a worldwide exposure to people who might not ever heard of this person. For us, it's hitting us because we hip-hop.
Yeah.
Okay. And she didn't pick up.
All right. So,
I guess she got a fucking job.
She got shit to do. Old 17-year-old ass on a Thursday night. What's she doing?
Not a motherfucking thing.
All right. Well, I'm interested to see. Is there anybody in the comments? Somebody actually shouts out white homie Sean. He had asked if there was a diss track that we can go at somebody, who would you go at? If you had to create a diss track, who would you go at right now? Are we talking hip hop or just in general? You know, okay, so if you could make a diss track right now, who you framing it to at this point? We can go people that you don't know, or people that may known and unknown people.
People that I want to make a diss track about. I don't know. I don't want to give nobody my platform.
Yeah, there you go. You on your Nah shit.
No, low key. Whatever his name is. I think his name is. Daryl or Derek or some shit like that. Old boy that worked at AAA. Okay. He used to be a manager at AAA when I worked at the auto club.
Yeah.
And he would just be hating.
Just mad.
Man, because I had sex with this girl named Tanisha. And
little backstory real quick. That there was Tanisha.
Shout out to Tanisha.
Was he
that, and he didn't like that because he wanted to get at Tanisha.
That's what it was. Okay.
And it was like, bro, like, she chose up. Yeah. Like, she wasn't like, you know what I'm saying? Mad. Like, I didn't press the issue.
Right.
I did tell her that I was going to do it, though. Because you know my get down. I tell you ahead of time. Like,
I don't know your get down.
Well, I'm just saying, you know how I am.
Motherfuckers be grabbing headlines. I just want to make sure you put it in the context.
Well, how I am with women is I'll tell you ahead of time what my intentions are. Like, even if you don't like me like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
how does that work, though? Do you say, hey, look, do you say, yo, I'm a fuck? Or is it like, hey.
No, it's not about physical to me. Like, I can go without having sex.
So how do you frame it? How
I'm just
going to
tell, like,
in Tanisha's case.
I said, I'm going to get you. It's just a matter of time.
Now, that sounds like some boogeyman shit. Like, you know,
I just told her.
You.
I was like, I'm just being honest with you. Like, she laughed at me and all that. She laughed at me and was like, yeah, whatever. Like, you annoying Aaron and all this other kind of shit.
Was she black?
Oh, yeah, a little black girl. Tripping.
My bad.
So, well, she's light skinned. But
that don't mean shit. She's
a black girl.
Right.
She moved the neck and all that. So,
so hands and shit.
Yeah, what happened was. I worked at the auto club with them, and it was like, you know, like when you work in close quarters, we worked in the call center. So when you work in close quarters like that, naturally you pick off.
You vibe on people and shit.
It's just natural. Like if you drop somebody on an island, it's just two of y'all, okay? You probably going to end up procreating. You know what I'm saying? Just because of,
that's
the only woman.
That's a far stretch. I mean, obviously on an island, I get
bro,
you.
Bro, in the auto club. You ever been in a call center in auto club?
Yes, actually, my cousin worked.
You ever
there.
Seen what it's slim pickings in that motherfucker?
Yeah, it's like everybody's like, lined up. Like
it ain't really too much shit going on.
Actually, so, nah. So what year did you work there?
I don't remember.
Because I remember my cousin worked at AAA, and there was a couple of them that was
No, it was some cuties. Okay. But I'm talking about, you're talking about hundreds of people that work in the call center.
Okay, I got
it. Out of 100 people, it's probably five that you'd be like, all right, you know what I'm saying? But then the rest of them is like, I got to be intoxicated.
All right, so you told her.
So
I'm going to get you.
So, no, I told her she used to come by my desk, and I had the little drawer. I'm the snack man. Look at my table. Like, everybody is looking at this video. Like, I'm Sir Eat a Lot. I eat all day, and I love food. Well, I don't eat all day, but when I do eat, I love it. So, anyway, I had the drawer, and I had a bucket of red vines.
Okay.
A bucket of red vines is clutch in a call center. Okay?
Bruh, how the fuck did you get her after all this? My point.
So basically, God I had
damn,
the snack
this
drawer.
Thing went to four different. How'd you
look,
get
I her? Had the snack drawer. She would come by the desk all the time, and she would go to the fax machine. Everybody else would be around my desk, and I would be laughing. I would tell them, like, hey, I'm going to get her. And they start telling her, and she would come and, like, laugh at me in my face in front of people. Uh-huh. So I was like, bro, like, I'm not pressing you about it.
I'm
going to
let you know.
Yeah. I'll lay in a tree and wait 2 years. You know what I'm saying? It's not a problem for me. I'm just a sniper. That's what I do. So once I choose my target, I'll just lay in the tall grass and wait for the gazelle to go by. So anyway,
how long did it take?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
It took some months though.
Okay, so it was
less
than
a year. I wasn't pressing her. We didn't like date. We didn't hang out.
I'm just trying to frame it as far as how long did it actually take.
Okay, we didn't go out. We didn't hang out.
I
want
to know how
like
patient
that.
You were to actually.
I don't know.
I'm saying I know you're patient, but I wanted to know how long did it take. Like,
it
was she
months.
Resistant to it at first, and
she
then
was, she would laugh in my face.
Okay, like
it
it's not gonna
happen. You were just she was repulsed by me.
Gosh,
and so that day I woke up in San Pedro at her spot. I rolled over and I just started laughing at her. You know what I'm saying?
Like, got your ass.
Yeah, I told you. Like, if you get to know me, you're gonna like me.
Right,
that's the problem.
Right, right, right.
Like, it's best to just think I'm an asshole and stay away, and that you won't get got. But then when you get to know me, you're gonna like me, and that's what happened. So anyway, the punk ass supervisor didn't like the fact that the girls like me at the call center. So he used to just
and this
hate
is Derek
on,
Darryl, whatever
the fuck his name is. And he used to hate on me all the time.
So when did he
write
know
me up and shit for no reason?
When did he know that this had happened?
Well, it wasn't her specifically. It was all of them.
So you bagged a couple of them?
No. I wasn't humping
fucking
everybody.
He-Man over here fucking banging people.
I wasn't humping everybody. What it was is he didn't like the fact that the girls thought I was cool. Like, they wanted to go to lunch with me. They wanted to come to. I was still promoting.
So
I was throwing parties. And
so
one
wasn't
day
a,
he fucked up and came to one of my events.
Oh, he saw what's going on.
And he saw me on stage.
He saw
rocking the party.
He saw Bobblehead in action.
He saw DJ Head.
Wait, hold on. Wait.
He saw Head.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you was Head, yeah.
So I was on stage, and he saw me. He tucked tail and got the fuck out of there because I wasn't going to do nothing to him. I was going to bring him on stage, have some girls give him a dance. I kill you with kindness.
Gotcha.
So I'll make a diss track about him.
You would make a diss track against Derek Darryl, whatever his name is.
Nice bow. How's
right.
That segment for
shit,
you, Lee?
God damn. See, I guess it's...
I know who you would make a diss track about.
Who?
Go ahead.
No, I'm interested to see who you would think.
Just go ahead.
It's nobody you would even know.
Oh, okay. Well, never
mind. But I still, let's double back on that real quick. But it's this dude, it's funny, he was my supervisor at Enterprise Rental Car, right?
It's always a fuck nigga being a supervisor.
It was.
Listen, stop promoting these fuck niggas.
Word of the day, stop promoting these motherfucking fuck niggas. But now he told me, this was at a point where I worked at Enterprise for 6 months. I'm like, bro, I can't do this shit.
That's
this is,
crazy. It's this, always a fuck nigga in your as your supervisor.
And what had happened was I told him I knew that at that point I wanted to get back into the radio because I took some time off of radio and I had to get a fucking real job at that point, you know, via my mom. So I was like, all right, got to get a real job. Didn't fuck with it. And opportunity was presented for me to work at K-Day. And I told him, I'm like, look, man, you know, I thank you guys for everything that you're doing. Like, appreciate, you know, you guys having me here and, you know, going through the upper management program and shit. But I'm going to get this radio thing another shot because that's kind of what I want to do. And he looked at me, he kind of leaned back. He was like, and this dude, he's making probably like 80 or 90,000 or whatever. He's living,
good.
He's good. He's looking at me. He's like, you want to do that for real?
Like, you'll never make it.
Exactly. I was just right. He's like, no, he said, good luck. And he laughed. And the way he said it was like, nigga, please. Like, ain't shit gonna happen. So I would write a diss track to him like, yo, motherfucker, motherfuckers can follow their dreams and make shit happen. You know what I'm saying? I've never seen him to this point, which is, I've been so pissed off about that. I want to run into this, huh? Jasmine over here talking. Always talking,
always talking with no mic.
Right. Always talking with no motherfucking
mic. That's crazy.
Mic. That's crazy, right?
What's crazy is this.
What's crazy is this. And she always
let me tell you what's crazy.
What's crazy is this. She's still talking without a mic. Say it again.
He's probably listening right now.
Nah, I doubt that motherfucker.
He's
listening.
Probably not listening right now, but like he's probably like he'll hear you like.
No, probably not because he doesn't know he doesn't know me yet. Is that groovy ass Liz over there?
Liz was popping.
Shout out to
Liz.
The essentials. You know what I'm saying? Kim gnarly up in here, man. You feel me? What's going
anyway,
on?
Anyway, we got a room full of our constituents.
All right, so all that to say, we would write a diss track against supervisors. So supervisors always fuck niggas. Have you ever had a fuck nigga supervisor?
Yeah. Anybody?
Yep.
Anybody in the
everybody?
Room?
Okay, everybody. Yep.
All right. Good so up, Cam.
We would all dedicate a track towards them. So
I would also write a diss track.
So against who?
What? Go ahead. Who you
known, think? Somebody known.
Oh, somebody known?
Known, yeah. Hmm. But I want to know who you think I would write one against.
Oh, no, I was way off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But who? Hmm? Should we talk about this later?
No, we should talk about this later.
Yeah, okay. Way later. All right, cool. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for saving me on that one real quick.
Yeah, you finna dig yours. Dig you or your own ditch.
All the way back.
I'll write a diss track to somebody known. I don't really have no problem with nobody that's known. Like,
no, that's not, I don't think that's your character. Like, you don't hold grudges.
I don't
like
care
that.
Enough.
Right.
I do. You know what? It is a couple of people that owe me some money, though.
Oh! No. Bruh, I'm sorry. This is some, all right, inside bullshit.
No. Okay, nah. That shit don't matter. He owe me like $1,700, though.
Hey, now that I think about it, this
couple people that owe me some money, dog.
That made, I did some commercials for somebody years back, and the money didn't come through after a while. He racked up a nice bill of about $1,200.
Yeah.
At first, it was like, all right, you pay me, I'll do your shit. And we build up a relationship, a rapport. He's like, I'm going to be, I'll just keep revising shit. I'll send it to you later on. I was like, cool. And then payments wasn't coming in, but he was still asking for shit. And after a while, it just became too much. So.
Yeah. And it's this DJ out here. His name is Omar. DJ Omar Rock the House. He's a crook.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you got to, you want to add him?
No, I'm just saying. He
be careful.
He owed me some money, too.
All
but
right,
he always promised things. I could do this. I could do that. I could do this. I could do that. And then don't do shit. All
right.
So anyway, shout out to you. Hope everything's going well for you,
DJ Omar. Real quick, did you see the thing with Joey Badass talking about he's better than Tupac?
Yeah.
What you think?
Stop it. He needs to knock it off.
You know what's crazy? I'm a big Tupac fan. Everybody knows this. And this is gonna make fucking headlines. I understood.
We're not that
popping yet. I understood. No, just talking about within our fucking
community. Oh, okay.
People. Mm-hmm. I understood what
Lupe
he meant.
Lupe put it up on camera.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that shit is gonna go fucking viral. I understand what he meant. Lyrically, when it comes to like everybody knows as far as Pac, nobody can touch Pac on his impact. Right, mm-hmm. The way he impacted the culture, nobody's gonna ever see Pac on that level. But if you put Pac in a cipher, Pac is not gonna last in a cipher like that. You're not. You wouldn't listen to the Wake Up Show to hear Tupac rapping in a freestyle like that.
No.
Right, so I think in the context of the conversation, that's what he meant as far as bar for bar lyrically, mm-hmm. like that. The same way we say, okay, Biggie is better than Tupac, I think that's what he meant. Now, he didn't have to say, I'm a flame Pac, like that was fucking stupid. Just shut the fuck up. And I think he knows at this point in his career, motherfuckers are gonna grab what you say and make headlines with it, so you gotta be careful mm-hmm. with your words. Mm-hmm. I understood what he meant, but everybody's run with Joey Badass thinking he's better than Tupac. And
I think that, nobody to this day has been able to capture emotion like Tupac. Like Pac would actually, you could listen to a Pac album and feel some kind of way after.
Absolutely.
Like I felt like I hated people that I didn't even never met. I don't even know who Chino or XL was.
Look.
I didn't like that.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
What's crazy?
I didn't fuck with Mobb Deep.
None of them niggas.
None
right?
of them. Fuck them. That's how I felt. But I didn't even know who Mobb Deep was.
That's
when I was a kid. Like,
crazy.
Who the fuck, man, fuck
it's crazy
Mobb
how hip hop can have that influence on you. And somebody of that stature can really make you not like somebody just because somebody else. Said that
nobody
shit.
Else in my hip-hop in me listening to hip-hop has ever got that from me where I felt really passionate.
You're right,
because
even when Snoop and them was going against Easy, it wasn't like
Mm-mm.
I hated Easy E.
I ain't give
really,
a fuck.
Yeah, nobody really cared about that Mm-mm. shit like that. I mean Mm-mm. people care, but you weren't. I'm pretty sure within the city that there were divisions, but you wasn't having a whole coast saying, okay, I'm not gonna fuck with Easy E or I'm not gonna fuck with Dr. Dre. It was like, oh, this is competition. It is what it is.
And I think that like when you're talking hip hop,
yeah,
our genre is the most impactful as far as like we're the most influential when it comes to impacting culture and right. the world and slang and everything that's pop culture.
Yeah.
It a lot of it comes from hip hop. So I think, and because hip hop is mainstream now,
that shit's crazy.
I think that
popular.
I think that was one of those things that made it mainstream. Mm-hmm. That whole era of the East Coast, West Coast, Pac and Biggie, that's what took it mainstream, because because before that, okay, you did have NWA, they was their thing, but it wasn't national publication.
Hell yeah, it was.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about as kids.
Oh, I got you.
This shit touched kids. I was a kid when all this shit was going on.
Well, no, and NW, I was still, that shit, NWA shit, when they were saying fuck the police and all that,
I'm talking about the beef between them. I'm talking about when Cube dissed NWA and all that. I'm talking about the internal.
You would have to be like a hip hop head.
You would have to be in the thick of the shit to really feel it like that. But when Pac and Biggie shit, that shit was
niggas on CNN. That shit was like on TRL, East Coast, West Coast,
with Carson fucking Daly.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's what I think. And also, when I'm thinking about it, like when I notice, like even beefs now, I don't think it'll ever go to that level again. As much as we have Twitter, Instagram, we have all the social media, there's nobody that unless Beyonce beef with somebody. Like if Beyonce beef,
but it'd be the Beehive or somebody that's a crazy ass fan would probably do some
shit.
That's
what I'm saying, but I don't think people feel that like how they felt about that. Like especially out here in the West Coast, like everybody know Pac not originally from here,
yeah.
But we embrace him. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people not originally from here, but if you've been here and you rep for this,
right.
And you know what you need to know,
yeah.
You know, that's what it is. So for us, Pac is like, what? Yeah. Like, what did you just say?
Off limits.
Like, yeah. He's off limits.
Yeah.
So I think that Joey, to say something like that is, I think he's just young. He probably don't really understand. Same thing with the Lil Yachty shit. Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they're just young and they don't understand. Because even when I was talking, I had actually talked to Lil Yachty, like when he came to iHeart and he did the interview with Big Boy and whatnot. And it was like, he really is just a kid.
Yeah.
Like, he don't understand.
He was what, 19?
He was born 2 years or 3 years
after Pac.
After Pac died.
Right, right.
Or Biggie or whatever. Like, so why in the fuck would he know or care?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what happened before I was a kid.
Right. It's like us knowing about Marley Marl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like
LL Cool J beef between some other motherfuckers.
Big New York dude. One of the best New York rappers. Who is it?
You just asked me right now? Yeah,
no, from the past. No, not Pun.
Pre-Biggie.
Pre-Biggie.
KRS-One.
No, before that.
Marley Marl. Like you.
Okay, so KRS-One.
Yeah, KRS-One. Yeah, he had beef with MC Shan.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck about that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I just don't. Right. I don't give a fuck about the Cube NWA beef. Yeah. I think it's dope and it's legacy because I grew up with the West Coast shit. Mm-hmm. So as I got older and I did start to care about Dr. Dre and you know what I mean, and Easy right. and whatever was going on, then I started to invest emotion.
But
or
I hear what
or
you're saying. Like it was more national headlines when Pac and Biggie was going at it versus when Cube and NWA were.
That
going
shit was on daytime television.
Yeah,
you know
everybody
what I mean?
To pretty much observe and
hell yeah, it'd shit. Be the equivalent to a beef that's going on now, and it'd be on Ellen.
Yeah. Very true.
Like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Right.
Like, imagine Ellen talking about Migos, Migos and Sean Kingston beefing. Like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Right, right.
She don't know about that shit.
Yeah, why did they?
She probably don't even know who the fuck Sean Kingston is.
Yeah.
In real life, I'm just being honest. She don't know who the fuck DJ Head is. Right. I know she don't.
Yeah.
So that's just what I'm saying. Like back then, though, when you talking about beefs and comparing
Wait,
yourself.
Did you just really compare yourself to Sean Kingston careful, and Migos? Did you put your name in the mix of that?
No, I'm saying Migos and Sean Kingston had some sort of shit.
No, I know, but I'm saying you said she don't know who DJ Head is.
Yeah, no, she don't.
But I'm saying, why would you even put your name in the mix of that?
I was throwing Sean Kingston a bone. Like, look, bro, she don't know who the fuck I am either.
But
Ellen don't fuck with me either, so it's all good.
Okay, whatever. It is what it is. Thursday in the house, right? All right, so we're going to talk to Thurs in a second as well, man. He got this party in my living room shit.
Yay, Thurs.
I actually want to talk to him about that because the way they did it.
I don't.
No, the way they did it, have you seen Get Out, the movie?
Yes. No, I didn't see the whole thing.
The fuck? How did you not see the whole
thing? I had to go back to the radio station, so I didn't get to watch
it. Oh, so you left
movie.
Early.
I couldn't watch the movie.
God, that it was a really good movie, dog.
I do want to see it.
Nah.
I just haven't. You know what? And I'm going to keep it all the way real. At first, I didn't want to see it because I'm not into horror films. And we saw the trailer.
We saw the trailer together. We saw the trailer months ahead of time. And what happened was, shouts to Sade, you know what I'm saying? She pretty much, yeah, she showed us ahead of time.
Yeah.
And we had a conversation amongst the group chat ourselves about. Yeah.
Group chat be going up.
Be growing up for real.
Shout out to group
about
chat.
This particular movie. And I'm like, dude, I low-key want to see it. I'm kind of curious how it's going to play out. So here we go, months down the line. It comes out, gets great reviews. I think the first – and that's what I want to talk about, too. I don't know if anybody understands how the whole Rotten Tomatoes thing works. But the first week, it was 100%. 100%. Yeah. Just recently, somebody this dude named Armand White, he's a movie critic, pretty much – said he didn't say he didn't like it, but he pretty much said, yo, in the times like this, that's kind of like a, you know, a dangerous rhetoric to kind of like put on like that. So yeah. Basically now dropped it down to a 99, and one of the stars in the movie pretty much got upset about that. It grossed 33 million, you know, shouts to
it.
It did really well.
I have heard I've heard no negative reviews of Get Out.
Right.
Everybody is saying this shit is dope. It's crazy. It's suspenseful. It's a mind fuck. You need to go see it.
It's a
and
really
I'm like,
good movie.
Damn, I left and yeah. I didn't get a chance to see it. This is being
so. What part did you leave on?
The beginning.
So you don't know nothing.
I don't know shit.
Okay, so we don't want no spoilers.
No, you can spoil. I'm not one of those people. I hate people like that. That's like saying, oh, I don't want to live life. I know I'm gonna die. Like, come on, shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's stupid. Like, oh, don't tell me the end of the movie. Somebody, I ain't gonna put them out there like this. Some dumb motherfucker was like,
"You got a kid up in the house, dog."
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thurs is in the house, man.
Yeah, he got his baby with him. Hey,
wait, hold on. Let's bring Thurs in the house. Thurs, what's going on, brother?
What's up, man?
Yeah, he covered his one over here, ears. Man.
You got the little one in the house as well, man. Shout to little man too. What's his name again?
Kingston,
man. Yeah.
Kingston.
Yeah, he playing.
You, Mr. Kingston.
He's like, man, he playing attention to the game. Oh, he heard you. Yeah, he saw
it. Is he related to Sean?
Nah.
All right. Just making sure.
No affiliation.
Yeah, at all. So you don't care about spoilers. It doesn't matter. But
no.
you guys did do with Party in My Living Room. First of all, tell everybody what Party in My Living Room is, and then we'll get into the latest one that just happened.
Yeah.
Sponsored the Get Out movie.
Right. So Party in My Living Room, house party concert series, started in 2014
that,
in Inglewood.
Inglewood was lit, by the way.
And, it's pretty much a house party.
You really from Inglewood or no?
Yeah, I'm right there. Born and right down the street, man.
There you go. So my bad. Go ahead.
But it was a party I threw to celebrate my designer EP that I put out with Red Bull Sound Select.
Man.
And it was at Jay Pound's house.
Yeah, man. That shit
was
epic,
crazy,
dog.
It was
yeah.
crazy, yeah. And like 500 people came out. I had my band set up literally in the living room.
In the living room, yeah.
And all these DJs come out, like Iman Omari, Sir came and rocked.
DJ Head.
DJ Head. Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, he even comes with a baby in the, okay.
Now look, he drop an F-bomb.
With
I don't want to hear nothing.
At all.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear nothing because
hey,
he just dropped
can't say
his
that.
Kid sitting right up under
him. He didn't hear me.
He
heard you though.
You was a little loud. Your voice is a little deeper. So now this one with Get Out, the activation with that movie. What number is this, by the way? Which part
of this is number, I think it's like 10. It's like number 10 or 11.
Because you guys went to Miami. You guys did one in Coachella. You guys, man. You
Thurs went on tour and left us here in Inglewood.
Hey, man. I ain't mad at you, first and foremost, man.
I'm mad at
you. I always say how proud I am of Thurs. Of, like, if you're an artist out there that's doing your thing, look at the way Thurs operates his brand.
What is that noise?
It's somebody downstairs.
Oh, it's him. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is that him talking for real?
No,
is
he's
it, like, oh, okay.
He's over watching videos.
Oh, I'm tripping. I thought it was somebody downstairs screaming.
Let me lower.
You good. But now that's, you want to operate your brand the way Thurs does it. You know what I'm saying? Of course he does music, but he does things that are outside of music as well that, you know, always turns back to the music as well, directly or indirectly. I think that's so genius. So this is number 10. You guys, how did you actually make that happen with the movie?
Man, they reached out, so I sent them. I sent a few folks over at Universal and the Kashmir crew.
Mm-hmm.
The recap and just awareness that I was throwing this event in Miami for Art Basel.
Uh-huh.
So they hit me back like, "Yo, man, let's meet up. We got some ideas." So you know, I met up with those guys and I kind of gave them a breakdown of what I've been doing with the brand. Mm-hmm. And they presented the opportunity to work with, you know, Jordan Peele and Get Out.
Yeah.
And I was like, "That's really cool." So they gave me. I told him I was going to draw up a deck for him of this activations I could do to incorporate the movie. So I got that back to him in a few days. They loved the ideas. I found a different location. And we did a walkthrough, brought Universal over, and they're on board. So It's pretty cool, man. First time doing something like that with a partner that big. So definitely want to continue to run that template.
Absolutely.
You know?
Run that play over and over and over again. Keep
now, what
going.
Was your favorite part? Well, outside of me DJing, what was your favorite part?
Like the way
you
to
did have
that
it
in.
Turned up in the first one. What was that?
Oh, the first one was popping.
That shit was crazy.
So, shout out to J Pounds.
Yeah, man.
I guess what I can say is you done been to Miami, different city, Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Which city you think surprised you the most as far as the turnout on Party in My Living Room?
Chicago.
Really?
Yeah.
Loop, see, Chicago, even Loop ain't know about that. How you know? You there?
I flew out there.
Like,
that shit was turned up.
What was it about Chicago that stood out the most for you?
Man, so I just have a lot of friends out there and just all the artists that came out and the performers. And the house, we had like this 3-story big house from this doctor. And this doctor let me use his house. And, man, 800 people came out.
Get out of here.
Hey,
serious?
Bro, look. What do you tell these white people to make them let you use their house?
Well, he's a black doctor. He's a black doctor.
Oh, see, there you go assuming
really?
Shit.
Yeah, in Bucktown.
That's really? What you get assuming so, shit. Nah, hell nah. Don't do that.
I'm just thirst. Don't know no black people.
What? Shit, what are you talking about?
So anyway.
He believes you. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's true.
He come on now.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say, though, what did you think about – you've seen the movie, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what was your first thought when you saw the trailer for it? Because we were talking about the group chat, our thoughts about that, but what did you think about it when you first saw it?
When I saw the trailer, I was like – I didn't have any emotional attachment to it. I was like – dang, is this real? I was like, is this a spoof or is this like something real?
Right.
So I didn't like pay too much attention to it the first time. Mm-hmm. And then once I had that meeting, and then I saw the trailer again.
Right.
And I was like, huh. Then they started giving me like a rundown of what was happening in the movie. I'm like, oh, this is kind of interesting. This is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, I tuned into it and I learned that Jordan Peele was the
behind it, yeah.
The creative genius behind it. And then seeing it the first time, I was like, whoa, I didn't expect that at all.
Right.
You know, like the writing was genius. All the actors did a great job. The chick, the girlfriend, really killed it, man. She surprised me.
Yeah.
You know, I was like emotionally involved in the movie. I'm like, damn, that's kind of how I would have reacted.
Right.
Or, damn, she's really selling this. I really believe that she loves this dude.
Right, right.
So it was a dope flick.
I mean, because a lot of people in the beginning thought it was problematic. Just being the shit that's going on right now in the world.
Right.
People thought it was going to be problematic to put something out there like that. Yeah. Initially, when I saw it, I'm like, yo, this is a dope-ass horror flick that has black people in it. Like, you don't really see that too often. So I'm coming off of it thinking that. And then other people breaking it down is like, nah, man, you don't understand, like, what that could do. Like, you know what I mean? Modern-day slavery and shit like that. I'm like, okay, I see where you're going, but I'm not looking at it that deep. But I can see how each side of the argument can work with it. But it's
man,
just
anything with like a black writer and any black actors, I want to see it.
Absolutely.
I'm tired of like seeing whitewashed media, man, whitewashed movies. I hate going on Netflix and just
like who?
I'm just saying in general.
I'm saying like the starring actors. Like who?
Like as far as black actors?
Like black actors that are doing this whitewash shit. Like who?
No, I didn't say that. I said just the
I'm going to try to grab a headline. You see that?
I said I hate just seeing just not diversified
need
shows
there
on
needs
television.
To be
I like seeing, you know, us
do
on TV.
Do you watch 24?
I watched one episode, and I wasn't really feeling it.
Okay, well, that has a lot of black folks in it.
I wasn't really feeling it.
I mean, they put
I, no, I like,
the
I like
newer
shows
one.
That really
the new 24. Yeah. They put more black people in that show than I would have.
Dr. Dre is in there, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
The dude who played Dr. Dre, yeah. Straight out of Compton.
Nah, but I think you're right. When it comes to the balance, we need these type of things. And I heard the episode of Jordan Peele on Combat Jack, and he was saying that he's looking at doing some more stuff that people wouldn't even think. You know, you think of Jordan Peele, you think of comedy, you know what I mean? Yeah. Key and Peele. So for him to do that, I think it's dope for his brand, but I think it also, like you said, it brings that balance to the media that we put out there. Yeah. So
we have to have a say in our narrative.
Absolutely.
It can't be somebody that's like, you know, speaking for us. Like, you know, it can't be somebody saying that this is cool. We have to be in control of our narrative.
Who don't you want speaking for us?
Like who? Thurs?
I mean, I just want DJ Head to speak for DJ Head. I want Thurs to speak for Thurs.
There we go.
To speak for Chuck.
Yeah.
Trying to grab some shit. But now, you do have a new track that you dropped. I didn't get a chance to hear it. It's called Iconic, though, right?
Yeah.
All right, so talk to us about Iconic. And you obviously dropped that around the same time of everything going on as well. Yeah. But talk to us about Iconic as well, bro.
Man, Iconic. Recorded it with J Pounds.
Okay.
Same house that we threw the first party.
Crazy. Okay.
So I just been performing it exclusively at party in my living room. So the fact that this is the 2-year anniversary, then we had this big collaboration, I was like, all right, it's time to put this out. I had a video shot for it. You know, it was a real fun video. But I just wanted to put the song out because everybody's been asking me about it that kept coming to the party. So you probably did hear it. And put it out. The response has been really dope. It's just all organic. You know, definitely about to run some more promo on it now. But I just wanted to get that organic response from everybody that's aware.
Yeah.
And that's been coming to the party. So, iconic, man. Yeah, produced by Jay Pounds and the art by the homie Dre Kid. Did some really cool.
Did Dre Kid, did he use the blog for... okay, maybe not. I'm thinking of somebody else, maybe. But did he ever blog for anybody, Drake Hit?
I don't think so.
I'm getting mixed up with somebody. Okay, I'm getting mixed up with somebody else.
I don't think he was a blogger.
Okay.
But he's a dope artist. You know, I gave him an old pair of these Nike Viotex. Uh-huh. And he cut up the shoe and made my face out of it. So when you see the artwork, it's like...
So that's what that is.
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen the artwork. Yeah. Because we obviously posted on Homegrown Radio. I just didn't get a chance to actually... And probably once I press play, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I heard this shit. I'm tripping. But what goes into that, man? Like... You and I big you up because I like I said, I feel like you're an example to a lot of artists that are out there. One narrative that always goes around is being upset or complaining about where you're not celebrated. But you do a good job of, you know, not only doing that, but figuring out your brand and getting people to come to you, but then still doing music in your own way. You don't have to worry about dropping projects. I mean, you seem to do things on your own time and on your own terms.
Yeah.
Talk about the influence behind that and learning how to do that and maybe some inspiration for those that are coming up that can do the same thing for the most part.
Man, I think it's just kind of studying marketing, studying people, and you just know that the most effective people kind of create a culture around themselves.
Yeah.
So, like, we're part of my living room, and all the music I was creating, I was like, damn, I'm tired of like going to these Hollywood venues and having to like be booked by promoters to be on bills with acts that I feel like are not similar to me or don't share my same story.
Yeah.
Let me create something for myself. So let me just control my narrative and, you know, work with the community that I'm from and with the artists that I'm working on records with. So I just wanted to create a scene that was like, you know, truly... in sync with where my mind was musically. So anything I create, I could go to this platform and share it with these people that are going to come, you know, and check me out and have a fun time with me.
Yeah.
So I want to give everybody just an experience to experience my music and have fun with me. So that was the real purpose for Party in My Living Room, and that's the whole idea behind the music I put out. It's like I'm not going to depend on somebody to get it. I have to make the community, you know, appreciate what I'm doing or make it for the community that I'm in.
Yeah. Who came up with the name Party in My Living Room?
Me. I was with my homie Jose, and we was just like building, and I was like, yo, man, I'm trying to throw this house party. And it just hit me, man. We was just like in a brainstorm session. I was like, yo, we're going to call it a party in my living room, because I was just trying to think of something cool besides house party. I'm like, all right, party in the backyard? Nah.
I'm assuming house party would have been hard to like, not hard to trademark, but you'd have had some resistance with that.
Yeah.
I think it's dope. I hate to compliment you. And I hate to big you
up. He's struggling too. He's like, great job.
Hey, it's a good, it's really good.
I wish I would have thought that shit.
I don't wish I would have thought of it, because the people I would invite, it'd be negative, but stupid. But I think I do commend you on the branding of Party in My Living Room. It is a great thing. It's a good idea. It's always hot, and it's always packed.
Literally hot and hot.
Literally hot.
Yeah, both.
Literally, like when you open the door, you ever been in them rooms where you open the door and you can see, if you look up, you see the steam coming out
hell
the top
yeah.
of the door.
That's what it looked like back in the day.
And shout out to it was a light skinned musty chick that was in there.
The first one?
Yeah, no, the one we just went to.
I didn't get a chance.
She was light skinned. You know a girl is musty when the bridge of her nose sweat. Like she was sweating between her eyebrows. I don't even know how do that.
That happened.
Yeah.
I'm mad that
like
you
usually
that.
Run down from the
I'm mad
from
that you observed that. Like, hey.
But she was standing right next to me. I'm like, bro, your eyebrows sweating?
You didn't tell her though?
Huh? Hell no, I didn't tell her. She wasn't my responsibility.
You stupid, man.
Was she dancing? Was she dancing?
She was having a good time.
That's all that mattered, right?
That's probably why I didn't want to rain on her parade. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
she was
enjoying herself. I didn't want to like offend her. Then whoever, you know, she was going to call at the end of the night. didn't want to, you know what I mean? And you know, let me, oh, we can't talk about that right now.
What the? See, don't do that, dog.
Well, now I was going to ask Thurs, because Thurs used to be a party animal.
Oh, man.
Back in the day.
Back
huh?
in the day, you know
long,
what I'm saying?
Long time ago. Long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. Before, is your wife listening? Your girl
statue of limitations. It's us.
Yeah,
man, it's cool.
Okay,
it's
yeah. Back, it's, in yeah back in the day when Thurs used to be an animal out here. Yeah. He was a savage with a these beast. Women out here in these streets. And his name rang bells from San Diego to Sacramento.
Damn,
okay?
Like
so Thurs used to be out here in these streets with A-Buddy, right? And A-Buddy used to be a savage, too. So I want to know, like, what carried over from the days where you used to be a savage running through them out here to today where you know what I mean, you just throwing your own events. Like, does that carry over? You guys still got that Rolodex, people falling through?
Nah, man.
That's
trouble, man.
Man, when you present it like that, hell no.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'll answer for you, dog. Nah.
I mean, you was an absolute beast out here in these streets.
Hey, he gonna just put it stomach,
on.
Man.
He gonna put it on like that, man.
Nah, he was a savage. I'm talking about like French Montana and Wilt Chamberlain mix. Because it was some ones, like French get the ones everybody be like, damn, how you get hurt? That's how French be moving out here. But then it's also the Wilt Chamberlain where you don't know about some of them. It's like,
wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, he like,
shout out to Thurs.
He like, next subject, please.
Shout out to Thurs. You feel me? He's a family man now.
Did you? I know you got to go in a second, bro, but did you get a chance to see the Oscars?
And I didn't.
Did you hear about the slip up with the best picture?
I did hear about it. So like, explain it to me because I didn't even get to watch it.
So what happened was, you know, obviously the best picture is the highlight of the night. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's the.
And it was Moonlight, right?
It was Moonlight. But yeah. What happened was they got on stage, and the guy that was presented, I forgot his name, Warren something, and he opened up the card and he was taking a long time looking at it. He was like, and he gave it to the lady next to him, yeah. And the lady was like, La La Land. Everybody's getting excited. La La Land comes up, starts accepting the award, and you just see people scrambling in the background. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Come to find out, the best picture was Moonlight.
Yeah.
So everybody thought, like, even to the, like, at that time, I think people thought it was a joke. They were trying to play off the Steve Harvey thing that would happen back, you know, at the Miss America. Miss America shit, Miss Universe.
It's right here on the card.
It's right here on the card.
That's my mistake.
It's right here on the card. But what happened was, on there, I guess there was a slip-up. They gave him the wrong card when he got up there. So it said, Best Actress, Emma Stone from La La Land. So that's why he looked at it like, yo, what's going on? They gave him the wrong card, by the way, or whatever. And Moonlight ended up winning Best Picture. It was supposed to happen that way.
Yeah.
But it's like, dude, how do you mess up something like that? Like, that's the highlight of the night. If anything,
right.
That's what you don't mess up. And,
then,
speaking of, you know, they've had situations like the Miss America and things like that. Like, how do you mess something up like that? But I say that it's a great thing that happened, and it ties back into our conversation earlier as far as, like, the narrative as far as our conversation, the balance. You know, shouts to Moonlight, the dude that was a black director, obviously black actors and all that. But it was just crazy how that shit happened, like the slip up. But you didn't see it, so it don't matter. I just told you the whole fucking story.
Yeah, I mean, I heard about it. I mean, I like briefly heard about it. I saw it trending, but I didn't get the full story. So.
I thought it was a gimmick at first. For the longest time, I thought it was a gimmick. Until I actually saw that shit, I'm like, nah, they fucked that up. You didn't see it, huh?
Yeah. What did I didn't watch the, nah. I don't watch. I stopped watching.
I know. I didn't watch it either. I mean, everything now.
Oh, you're talking about the clips.
Yeah. I mean, everything is on Twitter. It was trend. Everything was going
on.
I was at home looking at what was going on Twitter and then going on Twitter trying to figure out, trying to see the actual video.
Trying to piece
I was
it
like,
together.
Let me see. Because all you saw was like, you look at your timeline and the whole algorithm of Twitter is different. But if you went through your timeline, you just saw, whoa, whoa, whoa. Did that happen? Did that happen? Did that just happen? What's going on?
Right.
And then you obviously searched that, you know what I mean, and saw what was going on. But that was crazy, man. I just think that nowadays, you know, you got to be really, really careful with that shit.
Now, what do you think about, I mean, real quick, what do you think? Do you have an opinion on female rap beef?
Woo. We talked about this earlier, dog.
I mean.
Oh, you can do that.
Yeah, I got an opinion.
What's your opinion?
I mean, Remy definitely came. She got Nicki pretty good with this last, you know, this. The second one that came out today is pretty weak.
Thank you.
In my opinion. Mm-hmm. But it's cool to see a little competition.
So let's ask you the question. The reason that's the whole reason I asked you this is just to segue into this.
Okay.
But Chuck asked me earlier, you know, who I would write a diss song about if I was to do a diss song. So you're a rapper. you do hip hop music.
Yeah.
Who would you do a diss with? If you had to make a diss record,
I know.
Known in entertainment for whatever reason. It could be a Trump endorsement. It could be, you know what I mean, whatever. They don't eat clean.
I'm going to say, what's that one chick?
It's a girl. You would diss a girl.
Because she's whack. Her name is, she be on YouTube.
It's a lot of women on YouTube, sir.
What do you call this? What do you call those people? Those
influencer. She's a
YouTuber. She sell flat tummy tea?
Oh, shit.
Dude, I need to look her up, man.
Do she sell flat tummy tea?
She don't sell flat tummy tea.
What is she known for?
She's known for being, yeah.
Tommy something?
Tommy Loren.
Yeah, I would diss her.
Okay, so Tommy Loren.
I would diss
okay,
her.
So why?
It would
why?
Be Jasmine talking off the
because
mic.
Shit. I hate her opinions whenever I come across her videos. I feel like she's not educated on anything she's speaking about in terms of like the black community.
Right.
And she's very one-sided and just not a good person.
All right, so what do you think about people like, okay, because you know she was on The Breakfast Club. Uh-huh. What do you think about outlets offering her their platform, but her not allowing like Charlotte? Well, actually, no, Charlamagne was on.
He was on
there. Never mind. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
he wasn't on a dinner date.
How do you feel about that? Do you think in terms of media and things like that? Like, obviously, she has her opinions, and you know they're super conservative. But then you have the liberal side. Do you think it's fair for like okay? You're into the field, so you would know. A lot of people are upset that she went on that Charlamagne went on her show and he gave some light to her. So now that exposes her to a bigger audience than people would even know at this point.
I feel like.
There's
pros and cons about exposing ignorance, you know, because you want.
Awareness.
You want people to be aware and then you want more people to not support her. So, like, it's kind of.
So it's a bias in it. So essentially what happens is I want you to know my woman and see her, but I don't want you to diss her though. Like if you think my girl is ugly, I don't want you to see her. But if you think my girl is beautiful, I want you to see her. Don't you think that's a little askew?
I mean, that's that you're along the lines of what we're talking about.
No, I'm on the line of what we're talking about because like you're saying that it's pros and cons to exposing ignorance, right?
Yeah.
So when you say, okay, if I give Tommy Loren a platform, I want to galvanize my people against her rhetoric. I want people to rally with me against what she's talking about. However, if they agree with her, it's like, fuck.
Right. So I think, you know what, probably the best way to combat that is maybe to not expose it because she is one of many.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
I guess
for
if
sure.
you don't, this is a tough one. But I guess if you don't bring any light to it, damn.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, I see a lot of people jumping on Charlamagne's back because of it. Yeah. But I'm like, okay, so he obviously has a strong opinion about it. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's just offering the platform, and like it wasn't like he just went on her show and just laid down.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are upset because she didn't do the Breakfast Club. She didn't go up there on their turf.
Yeah,
he had to come on her platform,
right,
in order for them to have that conversation. So I think that's what people are upset about.
So one thing that's crazy. So when we think of Breakfast Club, it is pretty much a pop culture platform,
right?
At the end of the day, and a lot of people that make up pop culture are white people, mm-hmm. you know. So they are aware of who Tommy is.
It's a lot of white people.
It's a lot of white people. So
a lot of
the fact that Charlamagne went on her show. A lot of these people are watching her show and this show. So maybe it's not a bad thing that he went on there and he did have like a strong standpoint against her on there. I remember watching like a few bits and pieces of that interview. If there's a fight, you know, if there's at the end of the day, a piece of a good fight, you know, to go against what she represents, then I can't be too mad at it. She's evil to me, you know? So like,
she's evil.
See the guy. Charlamagne is not the greatest, but he did have a good purpose to go on there. And whether it's just for ratings and bringing more notoriety to his name, but he did speak made some good statements.
So I got a question then, since we're talking this. I'm glad we're talking about this. So What is your opinion on the hip hop community going to meet with President Trump?
Man, I don't get why, you know, folks would go there to meet with him. I don't feel like he even cares about the hip hop community. At the end of the day, he's a really good businessman. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You know, like, he's a capitalist. You
but
know,
what
too.
Do you think? Okay, so if you got the, if your phone rang, right?
Yeah.
You got the call, and it's like President Trump wants to meet with you to talk about whatever the issue is. And
he want to throw a party in my living room in the White House.
No. Trump wants to talk to you about. Trump
he wants to throw a party in my living room in the White House. Would you accept that call?
Of course he's going to do it.
Would you accept the call?
Well, listen, you're going to leave us in the field. You're going to run right in the house and take good hot showers and get food and sleeps.
I would not throw a party in my living room with President
Trump. You wouldn't throw a party in my living room at Trump Tower?
Nah.
Are you serious?
Serious.
Under no circumstances?
Not right now.
Bro, I don't believe that. Do you believe him?
No, I definitely believe him.
I don't believe him. I think
it would have to be. Now, I'm not going to say under any circumstance. I think the circumstance has to make sense. Granted, maybe. Okay, so that I guess that bleeds into the conversation. If he called you just for a conversation, would you meet for a conversation?
Would you go to Trump Tower and meet with him for a conversation about whatever is going on in Los Angeles, like Los Angeles policies?
So I definitely want to be prepared. I want to know all the points that we'll be talking about. If I am going to entertain this, I want to know all the points. Mm-hmm. It's just so, you know, I have my stance on everything, and I don't have to ponder anything. You know, I don't want to win anything if I'm going to meet. There's an agenda that he wants if he's asking me to
come.
He
gives you all the points, but you got to go solo.
Damn.
And then you got to take a photo op after the fact.
You got to do the photo.
You got to do the photo op.
He's not going to have you come to Trump Tower and not get that photo. Like, look, Kunta's happy.
So I'd have to control this.
He's an amazing guy.
He's amazing.
This
my
party
friend.
In my living
he's
room.
He's my friend.
Excellent.
He's my friend.
No.
Damn, that's a tough situation. I'd want to ultimately control this narrative. Okay. I want to have, because obviously, when we look at Kanye going to meet with this dude, we're kind of upset. We're like, damn, dude. Like, we all heralded you as our hero in hip-hop for, you know, at least some people did. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. I'd want to have control of the narrative that's going out if to why I'm going to meet with this man. Because, you know, he doesn't represent anything good.
See, the narrative for Kanye, when he was going to, I want to talk to him about Chicago. And just I want to have a conversation with him about some things that are going on. I don't know if he said Chicago specifically, but he said it.
I think I remember that.
His point was to talk about what mattered to him.
Yeah.
But obviously we saw what happened. So how do you then combat that? How do you
it's
walk
no way
into
for you
the
to
situation?
Control the narrative. It's no way, because his platform is way bigger than yours.
It is. But if I can have some type of control, like, you know, if there's like some media outlet, and I'm like, you know, this is the purpose for me.
I mean, your publicist would put your press release out. It definitely wouldn't get picked up. But
God damn.
I'm serious, because for instance, let me see. So we do the next party in my living room, right? Next year or whatever, when it's coming up.
Yeah.
Trump shows up. Do you charge him to get in?
I mean, we don't charge to get in anyway.
Anyway, right.
Do you charge him?
That's a good one, man.
It's a good question. It's a good question.
Like, hold on, my man. No hair pieces. Dude, how they sweat black
people
in clothes.
You make him buy a bottle. Do you make him buy a table? Like, you doing a party in my living room, and now you done moved on up. You got the penthouse or something. You selling tables and cabanas. Do you make him buy a table, or do you give him a table?
Part of my living room is not
it's
meant
not
for
about
Donald
that.
Trump.
Nah, hell nah.
Donald Trump is not part of the culture.
So do you make Donald Trump pay like he weighs?
So, man, what's crazy, the thing about part of my living room is supposed to be inclusive to everyone, but he's not a part of that culture.
So he's not welcome at party in my living room. Is Donald Trump not welcome at Thursday's party in my living room?
He's trying to grab some kind of capture.
Not right now.
That's a good answer.
Got it. Yeah.
Not right now.
We oh, my God. We
so, Chuck
on.
Dizzle.
We can go on. Because I want to know. Last thing, what do you think about his meeting with the HBCUs? All the operating figures or the
I saw the photo. The photo, and then
that shit looked crazy.
It looked crazy.
She was on a fucking couch like she was trying to get bottle service herself. Like
now she was on the couch like she was like, man, you know what? I'm moved on up.
Right.
She looked like Cat Stack sitting on that.
That's what.
She was like, "Yeah, I done found me. I done found my way in, boy."
Oh my God,
man, I don't honestly know what to really think of that picture. You know, I only saw the photo. I don't know what all was discussed. You know, I don't know what all was discussed. So it's hard to have like a concrete stance on that. But like, you know,
because I don't think
there's anything positive with meeting with Trump, man. I think he
gave some money away or something. But I mean, that conversation,
offer funding.
Yeah. It's going to be funded by the White House directly.
He said it's going to be funded.
So
by the
HBCUs
White House
are going to be funded from the White House directly.
Hold on.
Oh my gosh.
So hold on. Control, that's pretty much just saying that I'm going to take control of the HBCUs. Like, I'm in control of your, like, I'm your source of money.
Nah,
like,
I don't think that's the case. I think what Thurs said earlier, I think it's more for the photo op. I think it's more of like, hey, look what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
now, what, I don't know it. I'm pretty sure, low key, I'm pretty sure Obama didn't did the same shit, but nobody made a big deal over it.
Yeah, they didn't take the picture. So, you know what I'm saying? It didn't happen. If you don't gram it,
I know, right? It's true.
Like, Donald Trump is the king of that. He'll gram some shit. Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's on my Instagram.
Yeah.
A shout out to him.
Really cool. Really cool. All right, man. Well, so when is the? Do you have an idea when the next party in my living room is? Are you working on it?
I'm trying to wing South by. I know it's in 2 weeks, but you know, if I can pull it all together, I'll try to do it. You know, I have a location out there.
Nice.
But if not, then working on Coachella and working on New York.
Yeah.
Working on the next Chicago date and Denver, Seattle.
Got them lined up.
Yeah, we got it. Like,
Denver, Seattle.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Lady Gaga pretty much replacing Beyonce at Coachella?
Thumbs down.
Two
thumbs down.
Well, who would you book?
I mean, there's
nobody.
It's hard to really replace Beyonce,
nah,
you're man.
You're not gonna get nobody. People are gonna be like, oh yeah, that was good.
I think Bruno Mars has one of the best live shows. That might be a
Bruno Mars at Coachella.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, Bruno live is probably one of the best live shows like that out right now.
Here's the thing, man. Like, with I think where they went wrong, Lady Gaga was just on the Super Bowl,
and she did not. People were saying she did good.
I didn't like her performance at all.
I didn't dig it at all.
I didn't like her performance because I done seen some shit at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Man.
I think that I don't think it was the fact that it was Lady Gaga. It was the fact that, yo, we just seen her. Like, so what are you going to do?
They want to see more of her.
No. No, they don't.
No.
Nobody's happy.
That was not a good performance, man.
At all.
I was disappointed.
Yeah.
Like,
I was... Everybody was hoping she would low key bring somebody. I think people were saying they hoped they brought the Migos out. That would have been tight. If they brought the Migos out, well, she might. Who knows?
Hey, what if
she the reason the Patriots won?
Yes, it's her fault.
Wow,
we're just blaming everybody and her, Donald Trump, all of them, man. Everybody's fault.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, how can they get at you, bro? If they want to reach out to you, maybe collaborate with Party in My Living Room or anything else moving forward with other things that you got going on.
Email me, contact@partyinmyliveroom.com, Party in My Living Room on Instagram, King Thurs Instagram, Thursday on Twitter, and Party in My Living Room on Twitter.
Absolutely, man. Always appreciate you coming on through, man. Anything
this
you
is
need
home,
from us,
man?
Absolutely, man. We got you across the board in here like a couple times, man.
We gonna take some of the photos of you down though.
Keep all my photos up.
We're going to take some of the photos down, bro. It's just way too...
Low key, no. What's funny is that people come in here, they're like, oh, damn. Like, I don't see one picture of me over here. Okay. Meanwhile, Thurs got three of them over there. You know what I'm saying? But now, I always appreciate you coming on through, man, here at Homegrown and supporting, showing love. And you can grab that iconic. They can grab that.
Yeah, it's on Spotify. Got Make sure y'all play it, man. Play that shit right now. Man.
Absolutely. Do that. We're going to jump on it real quick, man.
Keezy.
He is into his game right
say?
Now.
Say iconic.
I will. I'm gonna call CPS on you. You know what I'm saying?
Kingston.
He ain't doing it, dog.
Kingston.
He ain't doing it.
Kingston.
It's not happening.
Say forget trends. Say forget trends. No.
Say hey. Say fuck trends.
Ain't gonna say.
Yeah. All right,
Kingston. Say fuck trends. No, I'm playing.
Whoa.
All right, man. It's Homegrown Radio. Chuck does a DJ head, man. We out.